So if you would, open your Bibles to Luke in the 13th chapter. And we're going to continue with our teaching of the parables of Christ and sharing the Word of God as He brings it to us. Again, the parables can be a little tough. A lot of us, we read them and they're good stories. And if you're like most folks that I know, we'll read a parable and then think to ourselves, well, that was kind of cool. I wonder what that was really all about. The truth of the matter is the parables are very understandable if you look at them from the context of who they were given to and why they were given. So as we look at this word, we're going to begin in the 23rd verse of chapter 13, and we're going to teach from the Word of God. Let us have a word of prayer before we start. Father God, this is Your Word. This is Your being. So we pray, Father, that as we delve into Your Word, that we would meet You, that we would understand You, that You would bring to us the enlightenment and knowledge of Your Word. Illuminate to us Yourself. So, Lord, I pray that You would take this pastor out of the way. I yield my spirit, my mouth, my entire being unto You, that You would bring the glory of Yourself and make Yourself known before us. For these things we ask Thee in praise, grace, and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. From the 23rd verse, it says, "And someone said to Him," of course the Him is the Lord Jesus Christ, "Lord, are there just a few who are being saved?" And He said to them, "Strive to enter through the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able." Jesus didn't answer the question and say yes or no, okay? Many of you who deal with pastor know that when I asked you a question, I love all the excuses that we get, all the comments that come back, and I'll say, "I asked a yes or no question, please choose one or the other." But Jesus was not like that Himself. When Jesus was asked a question, rather than answering the question, He would tell a story, or He would ask another question as His way of answering. And here He left it to the individual to understand, for the individual to look into. He said to them that they are to strive to enter through, to strive. What does that mean? So many of us think that coming to Christ is going to be something easy. Your pastors found out that the suffering we go through is because people see Christ in us and they persecute us just as He did, or He was. And that to me is one of the most, that's the striving. We have got to work at this. Jesus wants us to change from who we were to whom He wants us to be. And that is a constant work. That's not something that just happens overnight. For some of us, it does. God does take some things away. Amen? But for the most of us, it's something that we have to work at, because God wants to know that we're committed to Him because He's committed to us. And this is a work unto salvation. And He wants us to understand that as we strive, we have something to share with others. That you won't believe how God met me. In my darkest hour, in my troubles, in my sorrows, God was there, not to take them away, but to walk with me and to show me that there is love, there is hope, there is promise, there is a future, and He knows it all for me and is leading me there. This is a walk of life. There's a key word there, life. Okay? Because in Christ is life. That narrow door, His name is Jesus Christ. There is no other door. There is no other way in. You know, I've heard it said in churches before that, well, you know, Jesus accepts everybody. He accepts everybody and anybody who has faith to believe the gospel. The gospel is not this big. The gospel is very narrow. Well, that's very narrow-minded. Yes, my God is narrow-minded. He has set a way for us to come to Him. He didn't have to do that at all. But because of His great love, He made one way. and we have to choose to be in it. And that's what Jesus is telling him. He says, because I tell you, there are many who will seek to enter and not be able. Because people want to expand the gospel. They want to take pieces off of it. They want to add to it. And Jesus says, no, as soon as you change something, it's no longer the gospel. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, and I hate to say this, but I'm talking to an American audience for the most part. But many of us in the church are very legalistic, and we put stipulations on what the Bible actually says. We want people to walk in that door in a certain order, fashion, and manner. We want them to look like A. They can't look like B, C, or D. In the reality, Jesus says, come unto me, all of you. Come unto me. He doesn't care how he finds us. He cares how we will be found in eternity. He accepts everyone as they are. He doesn't put stipulations on them just to come. Because if he did, I'd have never been able to enter in. If he did, I wouldn't be here now. But because he loved me where I was and where I am, he's working on me to get me to where he wants to be. How many of you are still a work in process? And boy, we need to remember that when it comes to others coming in our door. They may have purple hair. You know, I used to think it's funny because when we would go to church and pastors would all talk, one of the things we talk about is our blue-haired people. And you all know what that is, right? That's the elderly Americans, you know. I think it's so funny. You know, we make comments about these young kids with their purple hair. Have you really looked at our churches? It's been blue hair for years. God doesn't care about the color of your hair. God cares about the condition of your heart. And he says, if you'll let me be the door to your heart, I'll give you eternity. What an opening. So we need to be careful that we enter through that narrow door, that we don't change anything, and that we're not expecting people to fit into our mold, but we are actually fitting the mold of Christ. Because there's a lot of people who are going to seek to enter it, and they're never going to be able to because it's not the true gospel. So many churches in our United States preach a bad gospel. Think about it. And it is sad. Because if it's not coming out of this word and this word alone, it's not truth. And what the people are believing may keep them out. Jesus is clear. He says here, once the head of the household gets up and shuts the door and you begin to stand outside and knock on the door saying, Lord, open to us, then he will answer and say to you, I do not know where you are from. This is a warning to each and every one of us that the time is short. We don't have a lot of time. And once the door has been opened to us, we need to make sure that as many people are coming into that. You know, we saw that example here where the leprosy people were accepting the Lord and they were bringing their friends. Why were they bringing their friends? Because they found a hope. You know, we live in a society where we're blessed. We don't have to worry about our next meal, okay? Because we're pretty much well kept. How many of you could not go to the grocery store for the next week and still be well fed because you have that much food at home? There are people who can't think about where their next meal, I'm hungry now, Lord, and I have nothing. And yet, are we as excited? You know, Pastor Brito made the, and I pray one day I can take him up on it and literally go to India with him. I mean that wholeheartedly. I would love to see those wonderful, dear brothers and sisters worshiping the Lord because they know now the hope that they have because they had nothing but death and desolation and now they have hope, love, and life. I wish the American church would worship like that. I can only imagine how they must feel having had nothing, being lower than dirt in the eyes of everyone, and now being raised up to the point where they're princes and princesses in the kingdom of heaven. Oh, can you imagine what a door has been opened unto them in the love of Jesus Christ? Can you see how much I wanted you folks here today? I mean, this is a teachable moment, because there is a door. And it's so amazing, because this year God allowed us to empower the sending of that door, that word. And I pray it doesn't end this year. I mean, we've been inviting our dear brother and sister for years, since we've become a church. And I pray that that relationship grows and grows and grows as we grow and grow and grow. Because we have the door. It's a narrow door. But anybody who wants to enter can. God says here, remember, the Father is the one who shuts the door. And God says here, I do not know you, nor where you have come from. How many people are going to be there on that day? Because they've heard the gospel. They've been in church. And yet, they've never entered the kingdom. You see, it's one thing to hear the word, but it's another thing to receive the word and to take him upon yourself and to let him in. Because please remember, not only does the door to heaven open through Jesus, but the door to your heart has to be open to Jesus. Because it's a dualicity. We have to enter in and we have to allow him to enter in and become the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in our lives. Because then he knows us, and he knows where we are from, because he knows us from the inside out. He's known us all since before time began, because he is eternal. He has seen all things. He knows all things. He knows the number of the hairs on your head, and he knows how many of them are coming out. So how can he say he does not know us? He's talking about a personal relationship there. We need to understand God is not into some theological rhetoric that you may know something about. God is into a personal relationship that you're invested in. That you're standing in the midst of a pack of wild dogs and you're saying, Lord, if it's time to go, it's time to go. And he says, no, not just yet, and sends a group of wild deer to draw the dogs away. That's invested. How many of you would eat worms for the gospel of Jesus Christ? You know, you said that, and it so amazed me, because when I was an associate pastor a long time ago, at a church down in Seven Valleys, we sent a young lady to Australia. And over there, the Aborigines, because she went to the Aborigines, the indigenous peoples, they went to the Aborigines and they fed them. They were so privileged to have the missionaries there. The Aborigines fed them. And you eat what they eat, okay? And they brought out these black, weird-looking things and put them in front of them. And they also had some there that were fresh, and they were grubs bigger than my finger. And they would cook them, and they would turn black because they just laid them in the fire. And we told Carrie before she left, remember Carrie? We told Carrie before she left, we said, you do realize that it's an insult not to eat whatever they bring to you. So even if you just eat one, or you just try it, okay, because they're giving you their best. They're giving you their, this is what they have. They're sharing what they have for their sustenance with you. We said, you got to at least try it. She said, I'll tell you what, I couldn't do one of the live ones. She said, so I took the smallest black one that was there. She said, I figured it'll just be crunchy and done. She said, I put it in my mouth, I bit down, and it popped. Just how far are you willing to go to know and to show the love of the Lord? You know, God protects us in all things. God sustains us in all things. Now, we don't want to be stupid, right? But we need to understand, hey, God is there. And when we're willing to trust Him like that, that means we have a relationship that says, God, I know You're going to watch over me. No matter what You bring me to, You'll also bring me through. Amen? And that's a truth. That's how God knows us. That's what He's talking about there. And then He says in verse 26, then you will begin to say, we ate and drank in Your presence, and You taught in our streets. This is what I was talking about earlier, about those who come to church and they partake, they eat and they drink of that which is given to them, and they listen to the teaching. But do you see in there anywhere where it says, and I received Your teaching? Or I received You? No, they just received the food and the drink. In other words, they took the blessing out of it, but not the blessed. They did not receive the fullness of God. They simply were there in His presence. There are many who come into the presence, but you must receive. You must partake. The Scripture says, take and know that I am good. And how many of us have tasted the Lord? You know, I think that is so amazing because we say these things as Christians, but there is a real spiritual truth here. Because when you have truly tasted the Lord, that means you've tasted the goodness of the Lord, but you've also tasted the bitter tears that come with being a Christian and knowing that there is persecution and knowing that we are going to suffer in this world, because that suffering builds perseverance, which builds character, and character hope. And hope does not fail us, for we hope in Christ Jesus. That's Romans 5, right? Isn't that awesome? In verse 27, He says, and He will say, I tell you, I do not know where you are from. Depart from Me, all you evildoers. How many are going to hear those words, expecting to hear, welcome, 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 because they've believed something other? They've you know, 30, you told us this one time, 3 million or 30 million deities? 330 million. 330 million. Woo! That's a number I can't figure. You know, that's a lottery, right? Which one are we going to believe? We know there's only one. And how many have believed? How many in our own society believe that they can believe in anything and everything, and yet they're going to get to heaven? Because all roads lead to Rome, right? No, only one road leads home. And His name is Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the... There is no other. No other. This narrow door is very narrow. In verse 28 through 30, in that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but yourselves being thrown out. And they will come from east and west, from north and south, and will recline at the table of the kingdom. And behold, some who are last, who will be first, and some are first, who will be last. In verses 28 and 29, He's talking to the house of Israel. He's talking to His original audience. He's telling them that you people of Abraham and Jacob and Isaac, you're the descendants, but many of you won't be there because you've not received the sender, the one who initiated it all, and that was Jesus Christ. So for that reason, there are going to be those who are going to come from the north, south, the east, and the west. And that's all of us Gentiles who are being welcomed into the kingdom, who have entered through that narrow gate. And that narrow gate's name is Jesus Christ. And it says, and I love this, and behold, some who are first, or some who are last will be first, and some who are first will be last. That again is talking to the Jews. You do understand that. It's telling them that we, the Gentiles, are going to get in before them because we have believed. for many of them, it's not going to be until the millennium when the tribulation comes and God is rescuing his people Israel and bringing them back to the relationship that they think they're supposed to have now, when God said, no, you forgot one particular part, and that is the coming of the Messiah, and you rejected him. So the Messiah will be revealed to them. But though they are the family of God because they are of the line of Abraham, they're going to be last. Though they are first in his eyes because they're his chosen people, they'll be the last to enter. But we who are last, we're the Gentiles. We were the last ones who were supposed to be welcomed in. We have become the first. And now we have our time. It's the time of the church. And are we going to enter in? Are we going to enter into this relationship? And are we going to take this gospel out into the world and allow others to know that there is a way, there is a hope, and his name is Jesus Christ? Can I get an amen? I love these parables. They're short, but they are so packed with the truth and the power of the Word of God. I pray today that with the presentation that you folks, I knew when Dan told me that you were coming or we had the ability to have you, and I knew what I was preaching, I said, yes, Lord, thank you. This is so real. Because I can't put this stuff together, folks. I have to enter the narrow door and stay on that narrow path. So too do we all. Would you join me in prayer this day? Father God, we thank you for this word. We thank you that you are the word. And we thank you that you've given us the ability to receive you, to grow in you, and to know you. But Lord, more than that, that we would take you out into this world and introduce you to others. That we would become the evangelists, as Brother Lowell was speaking of, to share the love of Jesus Christ with a world that so needs. So Lord, move in our hearts that as we have entered through the narrow gate and found the hope and promise that you give us, that we too would begin to lead others, direct them to who you are and how to receive you and enter into the kingdom of heaven. Father, we ask your blessing on Pastor Brito and the entire Smith family and the ministry of Independent Church of India and their Pakistan and Kenya endeavors. And Lord, we just ask that you would use this little church to be a big church in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. For Lord, you're not a respecter of size. You're a respecter of heart. And may the heart be willing, for that is acceptable unto you. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.